live from Stoney's downtown for the first round of the college basketball tournament. Here's The Drive with Zach Bye and Philip Lindsay.
That's my song, KJ.
I'm a strange lady. She makes me nervous.
We're hanging out at Stoney's on 11th and Lincoln. The place is filling up. It's got great energy, but there's still room for you. We got the games on all the TVs, and I would imagine last night in here had to have been a fun atmosphere when your Colorado Buffaloes were tangling with Boise State. And, man, your Buffs, I thought during there was a stretch, and I forget the timestamp of it, maybe 6 minutes left in the game. I'm like, these guys are back to being dead in the water, where I thought they were at the middle of the season.
Oh, here you go again.
And, man, they did a great job finishing that game on a 17-6 run for the uppercase W in the NCAA tournament, man.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, Zach. There was a time period, right, when I'm watching the game, and I'm like, how come we couldn't get Virginia?
Right.
So I was like, why can't we get Virginia?
Right.
Why does CSU get Virginia while we have to play Boise State? But they came together. They found a way to win. It's about outlasting your opponent. They outlasted. Okay.
Yep.
Tristan Da Silva did a great job, man. One that you were saying, I'm going to keep my eye out on him because I need to see what he's doing. He was a really, really aggressive, and he took matters into his own hands where I think at times he kind of just lets things come to him. I think he was a lot more aggressive, in the paint, rebounding, making shots. And on top of that, KJ Simpson. KJ Simpson was doing his thing. Now, he made a couple really big shots, but he also missed a couple big shots for us.
He did.
But that's what happens. I was underwhelmed with Cody Williams. I was a little upset because that's who you need coming off the bench for you that's going to rack up those points. And I just don't see this number one draft pick thing going on that people are, shouting about. I see the athletic ability.
Sure.
I see the name on the back of the jersey. But I'm not seeing what other people are seeing, and maybe I just haven't watched him enough.
Well, catch him on the right night, and he's very impressive. He is a kid. That's what he looked like last night to me. He looked like, I remember at the end of my freshman season in high school, they pulled me up from I played JV, play freshman. At the end of the year, they said, all right, come up to varsity. You know, when the JV season's over and the varsity plays in the playoffs or whatever. And I remember being in those practices, as a 14-year-old when the kids are 17, 18. Just lost. That's what Cody Williams looked like to me in his 11 minutes where he didn't have any sort of impact on the game that was positive. And that's why he only played 11 minutes. I mean, they had three players come off the bench and play a total of 22 minutes. A total of 22. This is how things go when the season's on the line. It's like, we do not have time to mess around, and it's not about your draft status right now. We got to do what we have to do.
It's about trust. And obviously, Cody Williams doesn't have the trust of his teammates and Tad Boyle.
Yeah.
He goes with what makes him feel good, what he's comfortable with, and that's with Cody Williams being on the bench, which that's fine. I think that's one of the best things Tad Boyle has done this year.
Yeah.
Now, I think that the Colorado Buffaloes will win against the Florida Gators because Florida is missing their big man, but they're going to have to rebound. KJ Simpson did a great job of rebounding, 11 rebounds.
Yeah.
But that has to be something the whole entire team collectively as a group does if they want to beat the Gators.
Man, and I love that point about the rebounds for KJ Simpson because especially in the first half, he just didn't have it. He struggled, and he ended up, coming on late and shooting 6 of 18, just 1 of 5 from 3. Got to the free throw line a little bit, but that's the, okay, my shot's not falling. What else can I do to help this team? And it was a couple months ago, talked about one of the toughest games to watch for me. We both rooted like crazy for Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
And it was game 7 of the NBA Finals. Win or go home. You're either ending the game as a champion or losing to the Celtics again. And he could not hit water if he fell out of a boat. I mean, dude, he shot 6 for 23.
And we're talking about Kobe Bryant.
Right. And it's like, okay, your shot's not falling. Well, when your entire season is on the line and your identity is a scorer, well, what do you do? He went out and grabbed 14 rebounds as a guard. And KJ Simpson reminded me of that last night. It's like, okay, my shot isn't where it's supposed to be. How else can I impact this team? So for him to go out and grab 11 rebounds in addition to 4 assists to just 1 turnover, I thought he was great, man. I thought he was great.
Yeah, this game, though, Zach, they all need to be playing desperate. They need to play like, because this could be your last game. This could be a lot of those players' last game.
Totally.
So you have an opportunity. You won the first one. You have an opportunity now, okay, to beat a team, a really good team. But everybody has to play desperate. When I mean like that, don't go out there and be frantic and just throw up anything. But no, energy has to be there.
Yeah.
Execution has to be there.
Yep.
Okay, the motor all the time has to be there. That's from everybody playing to the bench. Cody Williams has to step up and do things when he's supposed to be in the game.
Yeah. Nope, there's no question. And you add this all up, okay? The Buffs went 4-for-15 from three. That's 26%. They went 4-for-15 from three. They were out-rebounded by double figures. They gave up 19 offensive rebounds.
Yeah.
The Buffs had more turnovers than Boise State. They had less points in the paint than Boise State, and they still won the basketball game. If you would have told me that in advance, that they'd go 4-for-15 from three, they're out-rebounded by double figures, they're going to have more turnovers, less points in the paint, I would have said, oh, my gosh, Boise State is going to beat these guys for a second straight year. And the Buffs, and a big part of it had to do with the defense. It was the Buffs' defense, man, down the stretch of that game. And Tad Boyle talked about it after the game.
We got 5 straight stops in a row. Our defense just kind of cranked up a notch. And obviously we went with a really shortened rotation in the second half. It's just kind of where we're at right now. But these guys did what they had to do down the stretch and beat a tough, hard-nosed team.
They were a tough, hard-nosed team, and the Buffs channeled a little bit more toughness, and they won their 25th game. And we talked with Tad Boyle on Monday or Tuesday, whatever it was, and we talked about that 25th win.
Yeah.
CU Buffs have never won 25 games in a season until last night.
Oh, it was in all their heads. It was in Tad's head. He told us about it and also told the talk show host of who was hosting the game yesterday after they won about it as well.
Love that. Love that. Love it for Tad. Love it for the program. And then now you turn the page. It's tomorrow against number 7 Florida at 2:30 in the afternoon from Indianapolis, Indiana. And it's the first time in school history that both the men and the women's team will play in the NCAA tournament on the same day, because the women are going to play Drake at 5:30 tomorrow. And we today are going to be joined by Colorado women's head coach J.R. Payne at 5:30. You are not going to want to miss that. This is someone you have a lot of respect for. She's got a lot of respect for you. And you you set up this interview. You get like producer credits today on the show.
You know, what can I say? I mean, I love Coach Payne. I think that she, when you talk about a Colorado Buffalo, that's who you talk about, Coach J.R. Payne. She does a great job with those ladies. Great job with the youth anyway, all those students at the schools, the other basketball players, the football players. She's always being engaged with them, and there's not a day that goes by or a time that goes by that you can ask Coach Payne anything. And she's fun. She's playable, but she's also a serious woman when it comes down to things.
I love it. You're not going to want to miss that. So that means we'll have talked with both Tad Boyle and J.R. Payne the week of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
When they're in the tournament for the first time together since 2013. So a special period of time. There's no doubt about it. Who's got the better chance to win their next game? They both won their first 4 games.
Yeah.
Who's got the better chance? Is it Colorado State later today against Texas, or is it Colorado tomorrow against number 7 Florida?
Ooh. Why you put me on the spot?
No wrong answer.
I'm going to have to go with Colorado. They have the better chance of winning their game because of who's out for Florida. You know, with that center being out, that's big time. But I don't want to sit here and say Colorado State's going to be an easy, like, you guys are going to come and, you know, beat me. Nico Medved has his players rolling.
Yeah.
Isaiah Stevens, he's going to have to come up big this game.
See, that's the one thing, is he 100% healthy?
Yeah.
And that's my question, because you can get away with beating an offensively inept Virginia team when he's not at 100%, you're not beating Texas without 100% Isaiah Stevens. So we'll find the answer to that question in just a couple hours here as CSU locks horns with the Longhorns. All right, we are live from Stoney's Bar and Grill on Lincoln. You can catch all the NCAA tournament action at Stoney's every game, every day. Do not miss one game down here on any of their incredible TVs. This is the place to be all tournament long. You can check out their $10 Monday lunch special. They have Taco Tuesday. They have Wing Wednesday here at Stoney's, and they have a great alumni watch parties for Kansas Jayhawks and LSU, Oklahoma, Miami Hurricanes. So not only just for the tournament, but put it in your back pocket here just moving forward, as it is a fabulous place to hang out, eat some good food, let the drinks flow, and watch some games. Okay, as we shift gears, another video surfaced online that I roll my head so far, or roll my eyes so far in the back of my head, I'm looking at my brain. And I'll tell you why coming up next. And we will live together until the 12th of November. Our voices will be. We have a new video of Old Variety. New video of Old Variety, Mr. Philip Lindsay. And when I saw it, and it's involuntary, I don't even realize I'm doing it, my eyes flipped to the back of my head, rolling them so hard I was looking at my cerebral cortex. Oh, whoa.
You got a brain. I would think that you're seeing cobwebs, maybe a spider in there.
You want to know... The video I saw that made my eyes unconsciously roll into the back of my head was your boy, Russell Wilson, dropping another hype video.
Another one.
I mean, this guy just doesn't stop. He's the Energizer Bunny of content as a, you know, $250 million quarterback. It was Russell Wilson. He's got an awesome setup at his house there in San Diego, where he's got a football field in his yard.
Yeah.
Got to have one of those.
It sounds like you know a lot about my boy.
Well, you know.
What else is in this house?
14 bathrooms.
Okay.
A missing $3.5 million after the sale of it.
Oh, no, not Russ. Not Russ missing $3 million.
I got more fire than ever.
Oh, yeah, he sold that mansion, despite 2 weeks ago saying it wasn't for sale.
My house ain't for sale.
That was a quick transaction.
Stop playing.
That was a quick transaction. but it was another hype video from Russ. And, you know, obviously I have a lot of fun with Russ.
Yeah.
Why does he do this? Well, why does he do this? I don't see a lot of other starting NFL quarterbacks releasing hype videos. But Russ, he's got a library of them.
See, Zach, that's the problem right there. Your eyes are so glued on to Russ that there are so many people out there in the NFL world, especially, okay, making hype videos, showing the world that everybody in the world that, hey, I'm working out. I'm working towards getting my contract, or I'm earning the contract that you guys have given me. Everybody wants that attention. Russ is attention-seeking. You know that. So why would he not be what he's always been? When Russ was winning games, he was doing this.
Yeah.
When Russ is losing games, he's still going to do it.
Which is...
It's consistent.
Yeah, consistently, like, lack of the consistent lack of awareness.
Oh, what is he supposed to do? Not do it anymore?
Well, yeah. I mean, dude, at one point, like, okay, you're fighting for your NFL life. You just had an organization eat the largest dead cap in NFL history just for you to go away. You know...
I kind of like that one. I wish I could have got a bag like that and had this say go away, Phil.
No, it's a good deal for him. It's good work if you can get it.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I was just under the impression that Russ, I know he's got this undying confidence, but that he would just, like, live in the reality that I live in, and I just would never think of doing something like that when I'm fighting for my professional life, and I would adjust. I know he's done this stuff forever. But
so Russ, what makes it seem like more for Russ right now? What does it make it seem like he's more serious? If he doesn't do that video, and it's like, okay, we haven't heard from nothing from Russ, and he's working, or he's showing us that, hey, I'm the same guy. I'm still trying to fight for my dream, even though I've been paid a lot of money and people have counted me out. That's what he's probably thinking.
Yeah.
And he's showing everybody that he's doing this work. You know, there's still young people out there, still young kids that like Russell Wilson that want to see what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah. And Phil, you're probably right. I'm feeling like a scorned ex-lover who is seeing the person who screwed me, like, on Instagram prancing around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it went so bad here, and my hopes were so high, and my hopes were high, and then he took helium, and he put it even more into my hopes. My hopes were up in the cloud, but him doing stuff like this just got me so excited with all the promise of the years and the Super Bowls and stuff like that. So to see how famously and infamously it flared out, to see the behavior never change, he's not doing anything wrong. He's not, you know, hijacking an old lady's purse on the sidewalk.
I'd rather him doing the stuff he's doing other than what Jerry Judy's doing.
I want to talk about Judy here in a minute.
Cause yeah, I know you want to.
Judy, he picked another war today.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that here in just a second. But you want to know what? It's almost like I want him to understand how upset that he made me over the last 2 years with his lackluster play, being the conductor of his own hype train, all the lack of awareness stuff, all the cringe stuff, all the hype videos, all the promises, all the Lombardi spray painted on the shoes, all the I want to feel the chill of that trophy, I want two of the next five.
I want to win two.
I want to play 10 to 12 more years, 5 to 7 is my best football.
Man can't say anything without Zach being mad at him.
Nope.
Yeah, my goal is to play 10 to 12 more years and hopefully win 3 to 4 more Super Bowls.
I mean, think about that. And then he goes through what he goes through, and then it's like,
You just don't get it.
You know what? Maybe it's me who doesn't get it. Because I want him to get it. Yeah. I want him to, because I'm looking at him like, dude, you just don't get it. You have no awareness. You are cringeworthy. And you have a team around you who's just bobbing their head like a bobblehead saying yes and putting out content. Like, what does Justin Fields think when he sees that? What does Mike Tomlin think when he sees that? I asked you, do you think Mike Tomlin told him, hey, let's chill?
No, I don't think Mike Tomlin cares. As long as Russ finds a way to be successful for Mike Tomlin, because all Mike Tomlin cares about is making sure he doesn't have a losing season.
Yeah.
And Mike Tomlin's like, you can do everything you want to do, but if this young man behind you, Justin Fields, beats you out, he will be the starting quarterback. I'm paying not a lot of money for you, so it doesn't matter. But I'm going to give you the opportunity because I respect you as a player. You're Russell Wilson, and I don't like how people are talking about you, and I want you to be able to go to the Hall of Fame. I think that's what Mike Tomlin's thinking. But Russ has to put the work in. Russ is still in a battle.
Right.
And if Russ doesn't think so, shame on him.
All right. You want to go check out that hype video? It's on his social media. Where even in the hype video, he's holding on to the ball too long and still not throwing it over the middle of the field.
Oh!
Even in the hype video.
I heard you were his receiver.
Hey, you want to know what?
They gave you some gloves. wrestling knee pads.
Oh, my God. All right. There is a sizzling, red-hot team coming into Denver tonight. What are the world champs going to do about it? We'll take a dive into that coming up next. There is someone hot coming into Denver tonight. Who sings this, Phil? Turn that up, KJ.
I don't know who sings this one. I've heard it. Who sings this one?
Oh, my gosh. Hot stuff. Not Linda Ronstadt. Oh, my God. And it's not like Aretha. It's, is it Donna Summer?
Wow. KJ? Hey, good guess. Yeah, right. You got it.
It is Donna Summer?
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
Let's go. Yeah. Okay. I got there. We're hanging out live at Stoney's at 11th and Lincoln, and they got all the basketball games on. We're going to be here until about 6 o'clock if you want to come and say hello. But, Phil, the sizzling red hot team. You know, we're falling all over ourselves, giving the Avs credit for winning four straight road games.
Yes, sir.
The New York Knicks have won five straight road games, and they're looking to make it six tonight in Denver at Ball Arena, where a team that is just about as hot, not maybe in terms of consecutive wins, but find me a better team coming out of the All-Star break from the Denver Nuggets.
Oh, there's not. And it helps that the Denver Nuggets won the championship last year, so now, you know, all eyes are on them. They're starting to step up. The players around them are stepping up, specifically with MPJ. You know, our bench has done really well. I've loved Christian Brown and you know, Peyton Watson have brought to the table. But I want to see more from them tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, the bench unit, and specifically Christian Brown and Peyton Watson, can be kind of hit and miss. They're both young players. First year, Peyton Watson is playing every single night. Second year for Christian. But it's still, I mean, it can be imperfect. But a night like tonight, they owe the Knicks. They owe the Knicks because the Knicks didn't just beat them in Madison Square Garden. The Knicks beat the brakes off them. And I don't know this for sure, but I'd be willing to bet this was the largest loss of the year. Again, don't hold me to that. But this was 122-84 in New York just a couple months ago.
Yeah. Speaking of New York, you were over there, you know, scouting all New York.
Yes, I was in New York last week. It was my first ever Madison Square Garden appearance.
Yeah.
Or experience, rather. From New York, just never made it to the Mecca, they call it. And it was kind of cool, but also kind of weird, just knowing how long I lived there.
Yeah.
And that just, you know, we didn't have it like that growing up. And, you know, when I was starting my adult life, just wasn't, you know, to go to the games down there. I mean, dude, it's so expensive. I don't care where you're sitting. It is so expensive. And I wasn't going to go. Ended up getting a ticket, you know, from a guy who had some. But it was an awesome experience, to be quite honest with you. I mean, it was you could feel the history, the ceiling, the MSG ceiling. It's got these big, huge pillars that, you know, all meet in the middle, top of the arena where the scoreboard hangs. It's like this iconic scoreboard. And
yeah.
They must have refurbished it because everything inside looked new. Like the concourse area looked like new and refurbished. It was clean, and it was a great experience. I mean, the fans were passionate. You know, Philly sucks chants left and right.
Who's more rowdier? Denver fans?
Oh, New York.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's a rabid fan. And for a regular season game,
yeah.
it was intense. I mean, shoot, their fans were climbing light posts 2 years ago after winning a playoff game. Not a series. A playoff game.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy.
They are a rowdy fan base, and they're so hungry for a team that could finally be a contender. And, you know, I'm not saying this group of Knicks are a contender, but they're as close as they've been in recent memory.
Oh, yeah, they're getting there, right? It's just not their time. What did Devontae Adams say to Pastor Tan? You're not there yet.
He's not there yet.
That's the Knicks right now. They are not there yet. They have a lot of talent around them. They play really well together. But you're dealing with the Denver Nuggets, and this is a time for the Denver Nuggets to put their best foot forward, that championship mindset,
yeah.
Go to work. Because it is, at this point, you got the number one seed sitting right there. All right, you want to keep it.
Yep.
All right. And you said something. Are they going to take their foot off the gas? Are they kind of okay with being the number two? Or do they want that number one seed?
I think they want the number one seed, but if they get to just a couple games left, and instead of overextending themselves to try to get the number one seed, I could see them dialing it down a little bit. We've seen them do this in years past where they're just like, we're good here, and kind of building in some extra rest and then storm out of the gate in the playoffs with a bunch of fresh bodies. But it's just how close they are. And, I mean, right now, they are a half game back from the number one overall seed. I think the most important thing is to just finish in that two seed. Guarantee yourself hosting the first two rounds of the playoffs. If you happen to play Oklahoma City in a seven-game series in the Western Conference Finals, let the chips fall where they may. That group has never won a playoff series together. So the Nuggets have more championships than OKC has playoff series wins. And I don't think it's worth obsessing over the number one seed. But if it's there, you know, here in the next week or so. Because here's the thing. Nuggets only have 13 games left. The last game of the season is Sunday, April 14th. It's March 21st. So we're almost exactly 3 weeks away from this thing being over and a new season beginning. So
that's what it's about. It's about getting to those playoffs. Once you get into those playoffs, it doesn't matter about a record. It doesn't matter about who you have. It's about who's going to play the best at that time.
Yep. Nope. That's the name of the game. Give me something specific you're looking for in tonight's game against the New York Knicks at Ball Arena.
There's two things, right? The bench. Does the bench come back? They didn't have a good game last game. Peyton Watson, Christian Brown, I want to see what they can do this game right here. But also, for me, MPJ. MPJ will go for 28 points tonight.
Whoa.
I truly do feel like, you know, MPJ is playing at a high level. His confidence is high. His teammates are feeding him the ball, right? We've seen that in the fourth quarter.
Yes, we did.
He's the one that created that spark.
Yep.
He's the one that created that comeback and get back in top, right? On top. So MPJ is going to have another phenomenal game, 28 points, and the Denver Nuggets will win.
Well, I love it, man. MPJ, he simply plays better at home than he does on the road. His shooting goes up. He averages 18 points as opposed to 16 points when he's playing in Ball Arena with that crowd at his back. His field goal percentage goes from about 47% to almost 50%. So we'll see if MPJ can keep it rolling. It's been so encouraging. It's been one of the best months of basketball he's had as a professional. And then, like you, I'll be looking at the bench, man, and I'll be looking at the guys you call double trouble, Peyton Watson, Christian Brown.
Yep.
I think this is a payback game. OG Anunoby is not going to play in this game. He put 26 on the board in Madison Square Garden when these two teams met back on January 26th. And, I think this is not a get-right game. That's not fair because the Knicks are talented. I want to be sure to say that. They're talented, but they're more tough than they are talented.
Yeah.
They're the 4 seed in the East right now, so it's a real team. This is a real basketball team. 41 wins, 27 losses, and they're 5 games over 500 on the road. So they're a good road team, and they have a blue-collar nature to them. Again, if you were like doing a draft of the whole NBA, like we were talking about Anthony Edwards the other day, like he's not going to go outside the top five. I don't know where this group of Knicks would go because they're not terribly talented, but they are tougher than a $2 steak. And so make sure you pack a lunch because they're going to play as hard as they possibly can. And it's the first time I think I've ever can remember. And I'm not saying it's never happened before. I just don't remember it. Where you had 3 starters all play at the same college and all play
that's wild.
Together. Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, and Dante DiVincenzo all played for Jay Wright at Villanova and Philly.
But it shows.
Yeah.
It shows, all right? It's like the Denver Nuggets. The Denver Nuggets have been together for a very long time. That shows. All right, for the Knicks, those 3 players have been together, have played in college together, so they know each other. And it's showing out there on that court.
Yep, there's no doubt about it. We'll see what happens here in a few hours at Ball Arena. See if the Nuggets could go to, what would it be, 13-2, I believe, since the All-Star break. That would be fantastic. All right, guys, we are live from Stoney's Bar and Grill on 11th and Lincoln. Catch all the NCAA tournament action at Stoney's every game, every day. Do not miss a game down here on any of their incredible TVs. It's the place to be all tournament long. And you can check out, they have $10 Monday lunch special, Taco Tuesdays, Wing Wednesdays. So they got you covered at Stoney's. And they're a proud alumni home of the Jayhawks of Kansas, LSU, Oklahoma, Miami Hurricanes. It's just a fantastic place to watch some games. All right, we are going to shift gears here because Jerry Jeudy decided to get back on Twitter and go to war with another Broncos legend. And this one happens to work at our radio station. Hang tight. It's coming up next.
Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants. What's up with the fear? Making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to my bass go.
All righty. Rolling downhill on a Thursday, inching closer to the weekend. And I know there's a bunch of people here at Stoney's that they started their weekend early here. As Dayton
just won,
just escapes Nevada by three with a wild back and forth between the Flyers and the Wolfpack. Dayton is going to move on to the second round, or I guess now technically the third round with
first
four, 63-60. It's a really fun atmosphere here at Stoney's. We met a bunch of great listeners who wanted to come by and say hello and meet you. And guys, there's still time. We're going to be here until about 6 o'clock. But in the meantime, and KJ, if we could pull up that Mark Schlereth audio back in the studio. You know, back on March 9th, and right now it's March 21st, all right? So this is not a new video. But Schlereth, back on March 9th, made a video reacting to the Broncos' trading of Jerry Jeudy to the Cleveland Browns. And this is what our colleague in the morning said.
Hey, guys, your boy Stink here, and I've been telling you for the last 2 years what a bust Jerry Jeudy is at the wide receiver position. Well, today he was traded to the Cleveland Browns for a fifth and sixth round pick. And, you know, I got this from you guys all the time, but he's so quick, in and out of breaks. He's a great route runner. Yeah, he's open after the quarterback has already gone through the progression. And as far as a football player, he's just not a great football player. Doesn't run secondary routes well to attract coverage. Drops the football. Doesn't block. Good riddance. Listen, that's not the kind of player you need here in Denver to rebuild this thing. I, for one, am glad he's gone. But I tell you this, I'll never forget you, Jimmy Jeudy. All the best.
And Mark, at the end there, I'll never forget you, Jimmy Jeudy.
Jimmy Jeudy.
Oh my gosh! Wow, there's a lot of ground to cover here.
Yeah.
One, Mark, you know, clearly having some fun at the end of that video expense of Jeudy.
Yeah.
Calling him Jimmy Jeudy, but the video, the contents of the video. Had some real, you know, football criticisms that I have had for a couple years with Jerry Jeudy myself. What'd you make of the actual comments from Mark?
Yeah, I mean, look, Mark's not wrong, okay? Jerry Jeudy was supposed to be this great receiver. You picked him in the first round. Was it the 15th pick? I want to say the 15th pick of the draft.
Yep.
You're supposed to be like Demaryius Thomas. That's what we were expecting from you, right? Very, very talented. But it just didn't work out here. Jerry Jeudy likes to run his mouth on the social media, all right? He doesn't do what he has to do all the time on the field.
Right.
You know, he gives you a glimpse at times of what you do want to see.
Mm-hmm.
Just not enough. He's not just not consistent. So we had an opportunity to trade him in during the season to get a third and a five, I want to say. We didn't do that. We decided to trade him now. We get a five and a six.
Yeah.
You know, Jerry Jeudy ultimately gets what he wants.
Yeah.
A new fresh start and a bag of money.
Yep.
You know, so it's like what Stink said is not is it's true. It is true that Jerry Jeudy is not who we thought he was going to be.
No, and that much is clear. I mean, that's as plain as the nose on your face. I mean, it's just what it is. Jeudy saw this video today. All right, now.
Or did he?
Or did he?
I don't think he just seen the video today. Jerry Jeudy is very active on the social media part.
Yes.
He's seen the video. He was just on his best behavior.
And you can be sure when Mark makes this video, there's a bunch of people tagging Jeudy in the comments. So, you know what, Phil? You're probably right. Jeudy saw. And this is old. It's not like it was yesterday. This is a couple weeks old now. It's the 21st of March.
Yeah.
So you're talking, you know, 10, 11 days old. Whatever. Anyway, Jeudy responded to Stink, all right, our colleague, one half of Schlereth and Evans, and he quote tweeted this video from Mark and said, "Only if your opinion mattered, hate an ass dude. Hashtag bag season with three money bags." And he says, "Y'all go give this lame ass dude some attention." And then he went on to say, just a couple minutes later, quote, "Y'all got to stop listening to these fake-ass NFL gurus. They don't even have access to real film. They are on YouTube watching the games." Jeudy again follows up a few minutes after that saying, "I'm just seeing this." Says, "I'm just seeing this, LOL. That's why I'm responding. But, cuh, been on my blank hating and bleep. But that's what most old heads are doing now these days, hating on the young soldiers. but y'all can have them Twitter fingers. I stand on business in real life. Now, Mark then responded and said, congrats on getting paid, but I believe you spelt that wrong. And he's referencing bag season. And he said, hashtag bust season. To which Jerry then responds again.
Jerry said, I'm not having it.
He says, that's it. I thought you were going to come back harder, LOL. You got it. Okay. We got another little war with Jerry Jeudy and a Broncos legend. And man, make no mistake, Mark Schlereth is a Broncos legend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, if Mark was in today's game doing what he did back in the day, he'd have the bag season too. Let's be real. Right?
Yeah, well said.
And I think that's what's the reason with the young youth in the NFL and the older players, as we talked about, even the quarterback position, right? You put somebody like Joe Namath or
Joe Montana
out there, right?
Yeah.
How much would they be getting right now?
Oh, my gosh.
So, of course, they're going to be a little salty. Who wouldn't? You're dealing with money. You're dealing with what they've done. You're dealing with we're standing on what they have done, paved the way for us.
Correct.
Let's not be, let's not sit here and lie now.
Right.
And I think it's about a respect thing. And when you have a lot of money, sometimes people like to flash it. Sometimes people don't understand that you're getting this because of somebody else doing what they did. It's not taken from what you've done.
Right.
But if you had to play back in the day with these men, those are soldiers.
Yeah.
Right? What you're doing now, like, is not nowhere near what they had to go through from the practices, from the games.
Yeah.
Could you, withstand and outlast what they had to go through?
It's a good question.
A lot of them can't.
Right.
A lot of them can't.
Yeah, for Jeudy specifically, it's like that's a good question there. I missed one tweet. Schlereth quote tweeted Jeudy's response saying, he's an old head. And Mark says, by old heads, do you mean guys who won championships? Mark's got three of those rings.
Oh, yeah.
And, I honestly, I didn't need any more evidence that Jerry Jeudy is just, he's like school in July, no class. All right. Jerry Jeudy has just been, he's kind of gone for me in my head. And I'm just speaking for myself here. And I just want to make that clear. I'm only speaking for myself. Jeudy's kind of gone from brat to punk. And I think Jeudy has just a lot of maturing to do. And he's gotten more, viral beefs with Bronco legends than he's had touchdowns in any single season.
Yeah.
And Jeudy was the highest drafted wide receiver in the history of this franchise and combined for 0,000-yard seasons and 2.75 touchdowns on average. And the guy has just been a headache.
Uh-oh.
From freaking out
on... you're going to your list.
To freaking out on the field to officials and bumping refs to ranting on the sideline to other misery needs company type of players like Melvin Gordon having...
That's what the NFL loves. For some odd reason, the NFL will give people like that a lot of money in multiple contracts. They just... Till this day, Zach, I don't get how somebody shows their true colors, doesn't perform as well as he should on the football field, but then be rewarded.
Yeah.
Right? And there's multiple of players that are getting that.
Oh, yeah.
And then they get to this social media and they think they have done something. They think that they arrived and that they earned it.
Yeah.
When you can sit there, and there's a lot of times where I can go and do a workout and see what they're really doing, and it's not working hard. And I know everybody's working hard is different, but my working hard is pushing yourself to the limit, pushing yourself to get better, not going in there, taking a video, doing half the reps, not running fast, but then get some money. That's kind of what happens with players such as someone like Jerry Jeudy.
Well, it's the Browns' problem now. But this is, goodness, add Schlereth to the list. Had a run-in with Rod Smith. Who has a run-in with Rod Smith?
Yeah, Rod's a good guy, man.
Has a run-in with Shannon Sharp. Has a run-in with Philip Lindsay.
Shannon Sharp.
When he told Shannon his breath smelled like his ass. He had a run-in with Philip Lindsay. He's got a run in with Mark Schlereth. I mean, he's using most of the fingers
Steve
on his
Smith.
Head. Steve Smith.
That was one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen.
Dude, when he's like gyrating behind Steve and whipping his hair all around, like he's like.
I thought he was listening to Nuckabee Buck. I was like, or E-40 Shake Them Dreads. I was like, okay.
He was just out of control. And then, of course, follows it up with a 3-reception-for-14-yard game. And, you know, Judy is, I don't know, man. I want to see you play in some big games. I want to see you make big plays in big games where everything doesn't have to be perfect for you. Makes a lot of noise. Makes a lot of noise. But it makes me think of the old Jay-Z line. You know the type, loud as a motorbike, but wouldn't bust a grape in a fruit fight. And Judy, again, has had more viral moments in cryptic tweets than he's had touchdowns as a Denver Bronco, which is just 11. So, Judy, I'm totally done. I am done. I've been done. And just, I would say I wish him all the best in Cleveland. But
honestly, we wouldn't even have brought up Jerry Judy.
No.
If this whole situation went on. Because Jerry got paid. We didn't bring it up because it's not our problem.
I was going to say, we didn't even really spend too much time talking about his contract in Cleveland.
But then you give us ammunition.
Yeah.
Right? You put yourself back out there. And I was like, okay, you want this. You want the attention. You want everything just given to you. So here you go.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know it is what it is. It is what it is. Jerry, you want to know? You know, why don't you think about Jerry Judy's fresh start in Cleveland? My mom used to always say this. She said, "Wherever you go, you have to take yourself with you." Wherever you go, thanks, bro. Appreciate you. She said, "Wherever you go, you have to take yourself with you." And Jerry's got to take Jerry with him to Cleveland, and whoever Jerry's been, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see.